fluid arm. Turn that damn thing off.
A series of diagrams of tank components are labeled rapidly. Tank overhaul. The Chaffee.
A tank's engine is as critical as the gun or armor, but they cause many more headaches. Engines have to be powerful enough to move tons of heavy metal, but they've got to take up as little space as possible. Engines need to be protected, but this makes it very difficult to get deep inside them quickly. And when you do get inside, the work is slow because the components are crammed in so tightly together. What takes minutes to repair in a car can take hours in a tank. So when something in the engine breaks down, it can mean a marathon repair job.
A bridge in golden sunlight, then some feathery grasses.
June, Marin County, California. This is Joe Garbarino's military vehicle collection.
I bought this out of England. This is one of the last tanks brought in from overseas. You can't bring any tanks in. They call them weapons of mass destruction.
Every 4th of July, Joe has a mission. He shows off his collection on the main street of Novato, California. 3 weeks beforehand, his volunteer crew prepare this massive fleet.
All 10 tanks have to be thoroughly gone through, every battery checked, every engine checked, every transmission, every fluid check on every machine. We do our darndest to make sure every one of these tanks get in that parade.
A tank easing out of a hangar.
The M24 Chaffee. This is one of Joe's favorite tanks, a prize in his collection, and one of the stars on July the 4th. But his longtime friend and project manager, Gary Galati, gives the Chaffee one final check. The writing is on the wall.
We got an oil well upside down.
The engine can't wait.
We have a transmission failure.
Joe arrives.
The call has been made. And with only 3 weeks to go, the crew will be working around the clock to get this tank ready for July 4th.
The Chaffee's parked in a corner of the yard.
The M24 is one of the greatest light tanks ever designed. It weighs just under 19 metric tons. It boasts a road speed of 56 kilometers or 34 miles per hour, faster than the Sherman or the Tiger or later models of the Panther. And its gun means serious trouble for the enemy.
It had a 75 millimeter gun that was as good as the 75 millimeter in the Sherman tank. It also had very, very good mobility. It had good top speed, very maneuverable.
I always wanted that Chaffee tank because it was a real beauty. The GIs loved it. It was quick and it was fast and very reliable.
The M24 was born because its predecessor, the M3 Stuart, didn't measure up in the heat of battle.
The U.S. Army had a light tank at the beginning of the war, the M3 Stuart. But by the time that it got into combat service in 1942 in Tunisia, it was obsolete. The armor was too thin, the gun was too small.
Footage of the Second World War.
In 1943, the U.S. Army ordered a new light tank. They turned to what was then the center of the automotive universe, Detroit.
The automotive industry had lots of engineers, so Chrysler came up and designed the M24 very, very quickly in the space of less than 6 months.
The M24 was named after U.S. General Adna Romanza Chaffee, one of the pioneers of armored warfare. The fast, powerful Chaffee would largely miss the war it was built to fight.
It didn't see combat until Christmas of 1944, and even once it got into combat in small numbers.
Roughly 5,000 rolled off the assembly line, and although the Chaffee missed most of World War II, it would serve afterwards in Korea and beyond to the 1971 Indo-Pakistani conflict.
The M24 tank is very, very famous simply because so many survived. The U.S. Army supplied it to many, many armies. It stayed in service for very, very many years. There's probably still some M24s out there somewhere, still serving in some small army in some country somewhere in the world.
Children playing with an automatic weapon, then an American flag.
Joe is a proud American. The reason he does all this is to honor the soldiers who fought in these incredible machines.
I started this out about 20 years ago, collecting a Jeep, not knowing I would be collecting up to close to 80 military vehicles. We've got weapons carriers, so we've got Italian vehicles in here. How would you like to be on this thing firing all four?
Joe can afford to rebuild military vehicles because he is the king of recycling in Marin County.
I call it the Palazzo di Mondizia, which means in Italian, the palace of garbage. And what we do here is remarkable because we recycle between 65 and 70% of all the waste that goes in. And we've got about 600 or 700 public vehicles a day that go in.
The official name for Joe's Palace of Garbage is Marin Sanitary Service. In this palace, Joe is Commander-in-Chief.
I was born and raised in North Beach in San Francisco. My dad was a scavenger. It was just a way of life.
In the tank workshop.
To keep his collection in running order, Joe has pulled together a first-class tank crew.
I've got a great crew. I couldn't do it without them. And they're all volunteers in the tanks.
Longtime friend Gary Galati runs his own construction company.
I've driven all these tanks. I've worked on all these tanks. I've hauled all these tanks on our own heavy low beds and chained them down and run them and scratched them.
The man at the center of every restoration is Ed Navi. Ed knows every nut and bolt and the very guts of these vehicles.
Eddie has the same passion that I have for the tanks.
The last 21 years I've been doing it, ever since Joe and I got together and he bought his first tank and his Jeep and his truck, and I've been restoring them since then. And my family, the last 10 years, since they started growing up, have all helped me change tracks. We've done everything you can believe, put engines in, weld, put turrets on. We've had a lot of fun.
I'm his right-hand man. I pass him the tools and get chewed out when I make a mistake.
No, Gary Galati, I went to high school with him. He's always been a character.
What's the status?
Okay, I'm going to give you the
What's
full
the status?
Report.
I mean, he likes to get in there and gets aggressive. But when I first, he came out here on a Saturday one day and tried to help us put tracks on. And he cut up his arms, legs, everything, trying to think to be a mechanic. So we trained him. He's a pretty good mechanic now. But he doesn't like taking orders very well. But I enjoy yelling at him.
But right now, the Star M24 Chaffee is out of service. And the 4th of July is just weeks away.
But with the personnel that we got here, we're gonna do it. It's gonna run down Main Street in Novato, California.
Right up to the wire, Paisan.
That's right.
We're gonna be right up against the gun on this one again.
Diggers move rubbish around.
To get the Chaffee moving again, Joe pulls in everyone he can off of other projects. Father and son team Carlos and Christian Garcia start ripping out the back and taking every piece apart. The guys are joined by Gabriel Romero. This is going to be a major tank overhaul.
Gonna pull the radiator, pull the fan, pull the engine, pull the transmission, pull the transmission apart, pull the bands, because it won't move.
This delay is a major setback. There is a long line of other vehicles in Joe's collection waiting to be inspected and primed. They are all put on hold while the crew deals with the Chaffee. San Rafael, California. Joe Garbarino's platoon of volunteers is getting more and more nervous about the looming deadline, July 4th. Now, under 3 weeks away, the star tank, the M24 Chaffee, is leaking. They still don't know where it's leaking from or why. Even when they drain it, the problem seems to be getting worse.
Now, the drain plug is out.
Gary inspects it.
I don't like what I see when I see green on top of transmission. Green is the coolant. And the coolant on top of oil is not good. You don't mix it.
A tank racing through the countryside.
Part of the problem is intrinsic to tank engines. In a typical cross-country drive, a tank's engines are overworked. The driver is constantly changing gears and using high revs. It's not like driving down a smooth highway on cruise control. And even with the expected wear and tear, the M24's engine is over 60 years old. It's going to need massive surgery. The Chaffee has two engine and transmission sets, one per track. Developed in 1939 for the Oldsmobile, the Hydromatic was the first fully automatic transmission used in passenger cars. It was later recommissioned for the war effort and was used in the M5 Stuart first and then later in the Chaffee. Taking apart the engine, Joe's team zeroes in on the source of the problem.
They remove the transmission.
The transmission is right here. We had to pull this all apart because the actual seal behind the converter had burned up. After 50 years, you can still see the number.
As Ed digs deeper and deeper into the engine, he comes across a single worn-out seal. 20 tons of tank have been taken out by a few grams of metal and leather.
It's rusted solid. It's, as you can see, it's not pliable anymore. Plus, the water is rusted it so the spring doesn't function either.
Ed removes another part.
With the engine in pieces, Ed is going to go flat out and work on the assumption that fixing this piece will get the Chaffee back on its feet.
$4 part, but that little $4 part requires weeks of work to find out what caused it, fix the cause, put that seal back in, now rebuild the whole back of that tank and put it all back together again. Weeks of work.
The Chaffee needs a genuine World War II seal or a modern equivalent. But hunting for tank parts can be a full-time job.
Couldn't buy the parts anywhere locally. Couldn't buy them in San Francisco or any place. So then we started hunting our own parts down through military dealers and stuff like that, museum guys.
The team turns to Garbarino's parts guru, Bob Penn, to source out the seal. A veteran of the Korean War, Bob is no stranger to the demanding situation.
What do you say, Bob? Oh, you're gonna call him from here?
Yes, sir.
Hey, all the seals that we had have backings to them like an oil seal does, but you're saying that'll work. That's,
yes.
I'll go off your word. Okay, I will put it in. I appreciate it, thank you. Here's Bob back again, Brent.
With the seals in the mail, the question remains, will they work? But waiting around is no option. Joe's team must forge ahead with the growing mountain of work getting the other tanks ready.
Well, there's probably 66 that are going to parade. There's only 11 tanks. So those are my first priority, and get all the tanks done.
Another tank.
This Stuart will be rolling directly in front of the Chaffee on the 4th of July. The Chaffee is the direct successor to the Stuart in light tank design. It addresses many of the Stuart's weaknesses in armor and firepower. The Chaffee increased the thickness and slope of its armor, upped its gun from a 37 millimeter to a 75 millimeter, and added the torsion bar suspension, the first for an American tank. Where the Stuart failed, the Chaffee succeeded. The tracks on this Stuart must be replaced. Over 60 years old, the rubber that makes up the tracks pads are so worn, the tank's 14 plus tons of weight rip up the pavement.
We're flipping it and using the road wheel side because it's like brand new. So we'll get another 10 years out of it. Once you start heating and beating them, you have to pull them apart. Sometimes we use a jackhammer, sometimes we've used presses, come alongs. We're down 250 to go.
Footage of battles. A woman walking through a Vietnamese field.
In a valley in northern Vietnam, you can come face to face with a ghost. This rusting Chaffee is a lingering echo of the blood-soaked battle of Dien Bien Phu, fought between the French and the Vietnamese.
Children sitting on the rusting tank, then bustling traffic on a Vietnamese street. A Vietnamese veteran says, "The French, they conquered our country, so we must fight back." He continues, "If we didn't, then our people suffered. They were the enemy. It was simple."
The winter of 1953. For 7 years, a Vietnamese resistance movement, including local communists, fought a war of independence against their colonial master, France.
He says, "We were all determined to exterminate them to free our nation, bring happiness to our people. Under their domination, our people suffered. We only had vegetables to eat. There was not enough to eat. The people were excited with the war. So was I."
Anxious to hold back the spread of communism in Vietnam, the United States backed up the French war machine.
In 1950, the Americans began to re-equip the French army with many new pieces of equipment, not least of which was the M24 Chaffee.
Veteran General Priot says, "We were very happy with the Chaffee because it offered a good synthesis. First, the armament, the 7mm cannon. Secondly, the armor, which completely protected the crew. And thirdly, its mobility." Local girls sit on a tank.
To lure the Viet Minh out into the open, the French decided to fortify a remote base near the village of Dien Bien Phu. This was deep in the heart of guerrilla territory.
A close-up of a tank gun.
The base of Dien Bien Phu was in the middle of nowhere. It was over 500 kilometers from Hanoi.
The French assembled 16,000 troops, massive amounts of artillery, and 10 Chaffees. But there was only one way to deliver this payload to the distant garrison.
All the men and all the equipment had to be flown into the base at Dien Bien Phu, and that included the tanks.
Speeding along a motorway, a bright blue peacock and engineers working on a tank.
There's only 10 days left before the big July 4th celebration. Some 40 different military vehicles are scheduled to run down Main Street. The team has just received the replacement oil seals from Bob Penn's suppliers.
These are actually pre-seals. You know, see, there's no steel back. We're still at square one. Actually, this is like square 10.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even trust putting these in. Not even if I silicone them. Thanks,
okay.
Bob.
Okay.
We're still in cluster mode right now, and we gotta get it done. We're still don't have the right seal.
With less than 2 weeks before the big parade, Joe Garbarino's crew is doing everything they can to overhaul the Chaffee's engine. Bob Penn is looking for parts. Gabriel is welding a new bracket that will eventually hold the engine in place. And Ed Navi's youngest son, Mario, is repairing old bolts.
And some of these bolts are stripped. Yeah, because they've been on the tank for a while. So I'm just making new threads on them.
Hoping to salvage spare parts, Bob Penn has brought in two used transmissions. But both have arrived in worse shape than the one Ed was trying to repair.
This one had actual water in it when we pulled it apart, and it looks like it must have sat in the rain just recently because it had fresh water in it, but it already had started to decay at all. So we were hoping we got a good transmission, which didn't happen.
In between working on the Chaffee's engine, Ed and his team continue to overhaul the Stewart's tracks. Project manager Gary Galati has been out of the loop for the past few days. The volunteer crew has moved ahead, flipping the tracks. It's a time-consuming process.
We're flipping them over and making it like new.
Jesus Christ. I thought we had enough of this last year.
No, we're doing it again. We didn't want to hurt your feelings.
And Gary doesn't even know the worst of it until this very moment.
We didn't get the seal yet either for the transmission.
That's what?
We got five different ones, but they're not the right ones. So I put it together with the wrong one, but they're getting something out of Texas, original equipment.
Why don't you make one?
I did. It's in there.
And it's wrong?
Well, it's not exactly right.
I'm going to fire all you people that work for free and start over.
You think so?
Where have you been, Gary?
We've been here waiting for you. We didn't know what to do.
I've been looking for the unemployment line, Joe. I've never been there yet. Yeah, I'm looking for the unemployment line.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, I can't find any work. I can't buy work. I can't pay for work. How many days we got left?
Not very many, but the point...
Will you make it?
Yeah, I'll glue it on.
Archive of parachutists, injured people, and gunfire, and colorful modern-day murals.
The M24 Chaffee was built for combat. A scrappy fighter, this tank's versatility allowed it to take on a variety of missions in the theater of war.
Light tanks are used mostly on secondary missions. They're used, for all intents and purposes, on what used to be called cavalry missions. They do the scouting mission, they do reconnaissance, they do flank security. Where you need speed, you use a cavalry vehicle, and that's really what the M24 light tank was.
A beige-colored tank races along sandy ground, raising clouds of dust in its wake.
The Chaffee's speed and agility made it an excellent battlefield recon vehicle, a role that today's U.S. Army consigns to the M2 Bradley.
The job of a reconnaissance soldier, a cavalry soldier, is still the same. Go out forward, identify what the enemy's doing, where they're at, send back size, activity, unit, location, all those things, so the commander can paint a picture and make a decision. All we've changed over the years is put different systems around them, different platforms around them, and more technology.
On today's battlefield, what can be seen can be hit. What can be hit can be killed.
A speeding tank.
Staff Sergeant Jeff Parker is a cavalry scout with the U.S. Army, where he saw frontline action in Iraq from inside his Bradley.
We went all the way out to the Jordanian border, in which we lived off of our Bradley fighting vehicles for 6 to 8 months. The Bradley fighting vehicle was a constant. It was always there for us. Despite drinking the 130-degree water with sand blowing in it, we always had our Bradley.
It fires.
The Chaffee's 75mm gun had a range of about 1,200 meters. And although its gun caliber is a third that of the Chaffee's, the Bradley operates in a completely different league.
This vehicle can currently project and influence power out to the battlefield to about 4 kilometers.
But whether it's a Bradley or a Chaffee, a scouting vehicle is only as good as its crew.
You can have all the ground sensors in the world, but a soldier looking face-to-face, they can identify what the enemy's doing, is the most critical piece for a commander to paint that picture, in my opinion.
Lines of war graves and a plane coming into land.
A flight from Hanoi lands on an airstrip that years ago the French army used to parachute in a deadly cargo, the M24 Chaffee tank.
A young boy charges with a spade, then a battered old tank.
December 1953. The French began an epic process to break down 10 Chaffees and airlift them into the valley of Dien Bien Phu. Each weighed nearly 20 tons, too big and too heavy to be flown in one go. Each tank was dismantled into 180 pieces and flown 500 kilometers or 300 miles in 7 separate aircraft.
This was an extraordinary feat of improvisation and engineering.
When we saw our tanks in little pieces like a jigsaw puzzle, we figured we had become infantrymen, never believing that you could make a tank out of this collection of 180 pieces. Historian Simon Dunstan.
These men were so efficient and so technically adept that they were able to build one tank every 2 days. This is quite extraordinary by any stretch of the imagination.
The French had assembled a huge fighting force, but so did the Vietnamese. And they dragged heavy artillery guns into the hills around the French garrison. But the French had no idea until it was too late.
We were never able to pinpoint the exact locations of the cannons. What's more, they had dug tunnels into the mountainside so the cannons could retract. They were impossible to spot. We were never able to locate them. Ducks swimming on water, clouds racing across a blue sky, and speeding across a bridge over a river.
The Chaffee's engine has stopped. It is in pieces, and this 64-year-old tank is dead in its tracks. Joe's crew has been searching for weeks to find the right part, but so far, they are empty-handed.
I do know the sources for most of the parts. If you're talking about a tank part, I go to Texas. If you're talking about another part, I may go to Wisconsin. You know, they're all these collectors have separate places.
Still hoping to find the right seal, Bob Penn has tried another one of his tank contacts.
Here comes my lady now. Come on in, Sue.
There you go. It just came in like 15 minutes ago.
All right, just like Christmas.
But it's going to be a disappointing Christmas.
But that doesn't even look like that one.
No, the original.
See, the
one.
Guy's the crimp, and that's rubber, and this is leather.
They compare seals.
I think we better wait for that next one to come in. Well, see if it's like
got,
this.
We got one coming in from Sacramento.
Yeah,
right
this
now.
Number.
All right, guys.
Yeah, well,
see you later now. All right, buddy. All right. Yeah. It'll be interesting.
Sparks fly from an angle grinder.
The broken Chaffee has put Joe's tank crew through hell. Unable to get a new seal that actually works, Ed has improvised and reworked an existing seal, which now sits in the Chaffee engine.
I took a grease seal and actually made it into an oil seal, filled it up with silicone so it's got a stiffer lip on it, and made it a seal that worked from another vehicle. So we're hoping it works.
It's time to put the engine back in and take the Chaffee for a test drive. This means reassembling the engine, a slow, tough job.
Grease is painted onto an engine part.
Once we get that in, we can drop the radiator in, we can put the oil cooler in, we can put the fan on, and then I can dress the top of the motor and we'll be ready to start it then.
The engine has been completely overhauled, and though Ed is confident, he can't be certain his seal will work.
So we're playing with 30% could fail. So that's where I'm at. So when we fire it up, it'll be the hold your fingers and yell at Gary. But It'll go good.
A thousand of the attackers must sustain severe losses.
When André Mengele parachuted into Dien Bien Phu, he was dropping into a nightmare.
I could see the Viet artillery, the mortar fire. I saw what I later learned was an airman burned alive by a barrel of napalm. It was right out of Dante. Then through the darkness, I spotted the noise of the tanks. With their Cadillac engines, what a welcome noise. I headed in the direction of the tanks. A Vietnamese veteran says, "We were determined. We vowed to fight until the last soldier. It did not matter if we lived or died. We just fought to liberate our country, our people." Locals sit chatting. A man shows off his baby daughter and lines of war graves.
March 13, 1954. The Viet Minh unleashed its ferocious artillery. Battle had begun.
Black and white footage of wounded soldiers and a blown-up train.
In the midst of this inferno, the Chaffees provided critical firepower for the infantry and protection for the crews inside.
In my platoon, I suffered more casualties and wounded during refueling and restocking outside the tank than during the battle inside the tank, where the armor was remarkable in protecting my crew. Old photographs.
The Chaffee's 75mm cannon and its three Browning machine guns were used right to their limits.
The tanks were used so extensively throughout the battle that their guns were virtually worn out. The recoil system also failed because they lacked the specialist oils necessary to keep them going. In fact, they had to resort to using the oil out of cans of sardines in order to make the guns continue to work.
The Vietnamese gained the upper hand when they destroyed the only supply route to the remote French garrison.
The whole concept of Dien Bien Phu was for the French forces to be resupplied by air. Within a few days, the Viet Minh artillery had destroyed the airstrip. Accordingly, it was impossible to evacuate the wounded. The conditions they then suffered for the rest of the battle were utterly, utterly appalling.
Soldiers ride on top of tanks.
The tank crews began to run out of batteries, which operated many of the Chaffee systems.
We only used them to start the tanks to ensure they could leave and come back. We were no longer using the turret's rapid guidance systems. We were doing it by hand. We weren't using the electric fire control systems for the main guns or the machine guns. We were doing it by hand. Work is carried out on the engine. Then the team slowly lowers it into the tank shell.
Over the last 3 weeks, the Chaffee's engine has undergone a remarkable transformation. The engine looks like it did when it rolled off the assembly line in the 1940s. With only 4 days left, the moment of truth cannot be delayed.
Just topped off the transmission so we can see now we're full of oil, and now it still hasn't leaked yet. So that's a good sign. And once we do that, we'll see if it'll move.
Because after we put some heat to it, get it up to operating temperature, then we'll find out if the commander's a real commander or not.
Yeah, really. Now, see, if I was a desk jockey like Gary, then I could just read about it.
Ed's son, EJ, is in the driver's seat.
They peer into the engine as it whirs into life.
Kill the right. Go left. Pump it. Go. Fire the right.
Gary gives a thumbs up. Bumps fists with Ed, and then they salute each other. Outside the workshop.
64 years and we're backing her out of the shop again.
It moves into the sunshine.
Everyone is on the lookout for any sign of trouble.
Later, they watch as the tank speeds along and turns in tight circles.
Using years of experience and a huge network of contacts, the team in Marin County have brought the Chaffee back to life.
Stars and Stripes flags flutter in the air, and the tank mounts a low loader. Later, Ed's looking at a range of military vehicles decked out with flags.
San Rafael, California, July the 4th. In a few hours, this collection of tanks, trucks, and jeeps has to be on parade.
Which one is your family on?
My dad's.
Well, anyway, you guys are working it out. Over here, Len.
Well, the last 2 weeks have been the worst weeks because we've been getting here at 4 o'clock in the morning. We've been staying until 10, 11 o'clock at night, getting to a place on each tank that we knew that they were ready.
A tank is slowly and carefully guided onto a low loader.
To do it right, do it safely, it takes a little while to make sure that thing doesn't roll off on the freeway and you're driving up with your Mustang and a big 50-ton tank's coming down on you the other way. You can't dodge it.
Those tanks are anywhere from 38-ton to 62-ton, and you'll be seeing operators and drivers trying to get those tanks within a half-inch dead center line.
Another tank mounts a truck with an oversized load warning.
The tanks are being loaded onto Gary's collection of heavy-duty moving equipment.
This is not going to fall off. I've been blessed by the Pope. I shook hands with Mother Teresa. It ain't going anywhere. Piece of cake. I'm Italian. What's the problem? It'll stay.
A camouflage tank is carried away, and the restored Chaffee drives onto another truck. Gary walks up to Joe, takes off his hat, kneels down, and crosses himself, much to Joe's amusement.
Despite all the hassles and effort, Joe never forgets why he's doing this.
Oh, Joe, how are you?
How are you?
Good to see you again.
Yeah, nice
always
to see
good to see you.
Good.
One of my heroes, Joe. You and all those guys.
The low loaders move out onto the streets.
Finally, the show is on the road to the neighboring town of Novato. Just 22 kilometers, or about 14 miles away. But until all 41 vehicles, including the tanks, arrive there in one piece, no one is able to relax.
People wave as they drive a Jeep, and lines of military graves in Vietnam.
Dien Bien Phu was the last stand for France's colonial empire in Indochina.
A tank sits in a grassy field.
After nearly 2 months of horrific fighting and cut off from their supply lines, the French garrison was starved of weapons, food, medicine, and backup.
Night after night, the Viet Minh trenches got closer and closer to the French positions until the French realized they were completely surrounded and they had no chance of evacuation.
Very quickly, we understood that this would not be a French victory, that we had a choice between being killed or being taken prisoner, a relief stone carving of soldiers surrendering.
On May 7, 1954, the garrison surrendered. After 55 days of war, the French lost 1,500 troops. 4,000 were wounded.
Film of the injured men.
The Vietnamese had suffered 8,000 dead and 15,000 wounded. French imperial rule in Indochina was finished.
A man reads names on a commemorative plaque. Suppose there had been 50 Chaffees instead of 10. Dien Bien Phu would have fallen regardless, maybe 10 days later. It was not a question of tanks. The problem was the Air Force, the airstrip, evacuating the wounded, getting reinforcements. It was strategic.
C'était ce problème-là, le stratégique, j'allais dire.
After the Battle of Dien Bien Phu, the French were obliged to leave Indochina. The country was then divided into two parts, with North Vietnam and South Vietnam.
Appalled by the communist victory, Washington began supporting South Vietnam. And the nightmare in Indochina began all over. Having helped to defeat the French, Vu Xuan Huan would volunteer again to fight a new imperial power. And his people would once again triumph. The American War in Vietnam ended in 1975.
A man smokes a long wooden pipe. The whole world is applauding us. Now they all come to visit. Even the Americans and the French come back to see our liberated country.
In 1993, retired General Henri Preot paid a visit to Dien Bien Phu. The war-torn earth was once again lush farmland. In a sugarcane field, he came face to face with his M24 Chaffee.
Mais il y avait la caisse, il y avait la tourelle.
He says, the hull was left and the turret. There was the gun and the engine. In the engine, a little blue flower was growing, which I photographed. I was very moved to see the tank, thanks to which I was still alive in 1993 and today.
Retired General André Mengel also returned to Dien Bien Phu and found his tanks.
Speaking at a dinner party, we arrived at Dien Bien Phu. Night had fallen, and the guide wouldn't allow us to leave the hotel. Because at that time, Dien Bien Phu was a military zone, so I crawled out the window. I knew where to find my tanks.
On the street, Mengel saw a military patrol, but he still walked toward his beloved Chaffee. The Vietnamese patrol stopped, but not to arrest him.
They came up to me and they understood. They hugged me, they offered me cigarettes. They watched me cry. It was a powerful moment.
In Vietnam, the Chaffee was the enemy. But back in the land of its birth, the superb light tank is once and always a hero. After an epic struggle, the M24 Chaffee is going to make it to the parade on time.
Flags fly from the tanks and from other military vehicles ready for the parade.
Just after 10 a.m., the magic begins.
People ride on the tops of the tanks along the route filled with cheering adults and children.
The Chaffee was one of the greatest light tanks ever produced. Only about 4,700 rolled off the assembly line, but they served for decades all over the world. From Germany during World War II, to the Korean War and Indochina in the 1950s, from Vietnam in the 1960s, to Pakistan in the 1970s. They were still being used by the Norwegian and Uruguayan armies in the 1990s, and even now, this tank has not stopped rolling into action. It's a perfect day. The M24 runs smoothly. The crew gets to show off their hardware. American veterans are honored for their sacrifices. This wonderful celebration could never have happened without this American patriot and his band of brothers who refused to leave the Chaffee behind.
The weather was great. We didn't overheat. The Chaffee made it through. Great day. Did you see how many more people we had? Did you see the flags? How many veterans did you see? The veterans. The boys, the gentlemen that were, you could just see them.
It's well worth it. Yeah, more than well worth it.
They wave from the top of the Chaffee.